showing bravado to the bad guys, or the not-so-bad guys, as the case may be, is a given, a part of the territory. But I'd never taken on anything with the sheer mass of Tiny the Gruff, and I really didn't think I'd care to try my hand against him without one hell of a lot of preparation first. I also had to remember that big didn't necessarily equal stupid, not given the circles he apparently moved in. In fact, most of the higher reaches of the summer court knew a formidable amount of counter magic. If Tiny here had half the ability I'd seen demonstrated in the past, I would be in real trouble in a straight fight. All he had to do was stand outside and wait. Mac's place had only the one door. Worse, Thomas and Molly were waiting outside in Thomas's barge, and they would be sure to join in. I wasn't sure what could happen at that point. Leaving totally aside the fact that we'd be brawling in the middle of Chicago in broad daylight, I had to think that the Gruff might have backup waiting nearby to intervene if anyone outside the business of the courts of winter and summer tried to interfere. Molly was of limited capability in a fight, and Thomas tended to believe that the best way to approach any given combat was with a maximum of power, speed, and aggressive ferocity. Things could get really messy, really fast. I was trying to think of a way of getting out of this without getting anyone killed when Murphy put her gun on the table and said in a very clear, loud, challenging tone, "I don't think so." The Gruff turned to stare at her in surprise. So did Mac. So did everyone else there. Heck, so did I. Murphy stood straight up and turned to face the enormous Gruff with her feet spread. "I will not let this challenge to my authority pass." The Gruff tilted its head to one side. Its horns dug furrows in the wooden ceiling. Mac winced. "Lady," it rumbled. "Do you know who I am?" Murphy asked. "A lady knight, a shield bearer of this mortal domain," the Gruff replied. "An officer of the law, or so I believe it is called." "That's right," she said calmly. "I make no challenge to your authority, Dame Murphy," she said. "Dame Murphy," rumbled the Gruff. "But you do," Murphy said. "You have threatened one I am sworn to protect." The Gruff blinked, a considerable gesture on his scale, and glanced at me.
"This wizard?"
"Yes," Murphy said. "He's a citizen of Chicago, and I am sworn to protect and defend him against those who would harm him."
"Dame Murphy," the Gruff said stiffly, "this matter is not one of mortal concern."
"The hell it isn't," Murphy said. "This man lives in Chicago. He pays taxes to the city. He is beholden to its laws." She glanced aside at me, and her mouth quirked wryly. "If he is to suffer the headaches of citizenry, as he must, then it is fair and lawful that he should enjoy the protections offered to every citizen. He is therefore under my protection, and any quarrel you have with him, you also have with me." The Gruff stared at her for a moment, eyes narrowed in thought.
"Art thou quite certain of thy position, Dame Murphy?"
"Quite certain," she replied.
"Even knowing that the duty solemnly charged unto me and my kin might require us to kill thee?"
"Master Gruff," Murphy replied, laying a hand on her gun for the first time, "consider for a moment what a steel-jacketed round would feel like as it entered your flesh." The Gruff flicked its ears in surprise. A number of napkins were blown from the surface of a nearby table.
"Thou wouldst aim such weapons of the bane at a lawful champion of the Seelie Court?"
"In your case, Master Gruff," Murphy said, "I would hardly need to aim." Then she picked up the gun and aimed it at the Gruff's eyes.